T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Harvey's back from Milwaukee. Let's go.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
I think what players lose sight of is the fact that it's not just one team. Every team scouts you every game. If your team that you're currently with doesn't want you, another team might. So you have to keep grinding. And this is a really cold game, Lawrence. I hear people say, well, the Sox owe your mean. They don't owe your mean anything. They gave him an opportunity. For a while, he made the most of it. Well, when he couldn't do it any longer, the next guy up, that's what happens. These jobs aren't promised to anybody. You're just borrowing that spot for a little bit, and then they move on to somebody else. He had an opportunity here. I don't know if he'll get another one. Odds are overwhelming that when the two big boys come back, when Luis and Eloy come back, it's going to get really difficult to see who you're going to send down and who you're going to keep here. I don't know how it's going to work out for Yermin. I like the fact that he came back. Hopefully he will hit somewhere along the line like we know he can. But, you know, it's a numbers game right now with the White Sox, and it's a good thing to have when you have an abundance of talent.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Bass drop! Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 2 o'clock. Man, do we have a show for you today. Hello to everyone who is watching on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. If you didn't know, you can watch the show along with listening to it. Like, you just pop it up on your television and watch us. Just go to twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore, and you can watch all the goings-on, not just in my studio, but in the production studio as well. Here's what we have planned for you. Cameron Smith is going to join me at 12:40. We're going to talk about Team USA and them losing, and if this is a harbinger of them continuing to lose. We'll discuss that with him. Some NBA stuff. I want to pick his brain about Derrick Rose too. We will also talk with DB Sweeney. He's going to be the first guest in the studio. Oh, wait, no, Jason's been in studio. So second guest that we've had in studio, DB Sweeney, is going to be here. We're going to talk to him about Shoeless Joe. And we are for sure going to talk to him about the cutting edge. Like, how could I have him on the show and not talk to him about the cut? That's a cult classic. It's coming up on the 30th anniversary. So anyone that you love that loves that movie, tell their asses to be listening to The Score at 1 o'clock today. Herbie, it's Eloy Day. Sky Point indeed. Eloy Jimenez is back.
He has risen.
Yeah, well, he wasn't dead, even though it seemed like the White Sox were acting as if he was initially. And then they were like, oh, he's going to be fine. And it's like, oh, he might be back early. And poof, he told you 2 weeks ago, I'm going to be back before the beginning of August. And damn it, if he wasn't telling the truth. So tonight, he will be in the lineup. Where he'll be in the lineup will be of interest. Because we all would like, all right, let's do it this way, okay? How about this? We'll do a little interactive radio. I'm going to count to 3, and you're going to scream, whether it's via the text, or you're in your car, or you're at the office, I don't care what your boss says. I'm going to count to three, and we're all, as a White Sox fandom, as the White Sox squadron, we're going to say what position he should play. Okay? You ready? One, two, three.
In the lineup.
Let's try it again. One, two, three. DH! We'll see where he ends up. I think the DH would be where TLR would like for him to be. And you know what's funny about all of it? Like, White Sox fans, for the most part, have capitulated to, you know, the way that Tony does things is the way that it should be done, and everyone needs to buck up, Buttercup. Well, this would seem like a situation where if you were going to lay down the velvet hammer, this would be it. Aloy, you're the DH.
It's unanimous on the text.
Of course it is. Look,
one guy said bench. Sorry.
No, we all know it. They know it. Aloy probably even knows it. Because watching him flop around in Charlotte scared the hell out of us again. I am just happy that he's back. He is a presence in the lineup, and he is a presence in their clubhouse. So I'm glad that the smiling, happy, effervescent Aloy Jimenez is back with his teammates as they get ready for their series against Kansas City. Does that mean that we don't have to talk about what happened in Milwaukee? Or does Aloy coming back point to some of the things that happened in Milwaukee, meaning they went up against good pitching and struggled to hit the ball, struggled to score runs, and we saw them do this with the Astros and then come back and take care of business with the Astros. They're not going to see the Brewers again unless they're in the World Series, which would mean to me that the White Sox season has been a success, even if they were to lose said World Series. But like I said on Friday's show, 1 through 5, I don't think there's a better rotation than the White Sox. 1 through 3, though, I think the Brewers can compete with anybody in Major League Baseball. And you saw it. I think Craig Counsell had a better weekend than TLR did. And it was a thing. I've also got some thoughts about Milwaukee itself and AmFam Park that I want to share. I want to give Herbie an opportunity to share some of his thoughts. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will tell you about our individual trips that we took to go watch the White Sox in Milwaukee. Maybe you went too. And if you'd like to share, 312-644-6767. That's the Score listener line. You can call or text there. It's brought to you by BetQL app. Download the app and become better. We'll talk about the White Sox in Milwaukee next here on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Taylor runs in. It's a fly ball into shallow center field that should do it. Hamilton's got it, and the White Sox are able to stave off the sweep this weekend by taking the finale of the series, a pitching and defense game, 3-1 Pale Hose.
So luckily, there was no sweep that happened for the White Sox, but they didn't hit really good pitching well. 5 total runs in that series? Bad, bad, bad. It's fun, though. It was fun to see them match up against another really good portion of a starting rotation. And in postseason, you only need 3 good starters if you're going to win. And the Brewers have that. They have a feisty little team that disposed of the Cubs a few weeks ago and now has got their sights set on winning the National League Central again outright and getting ready for the playoffs. The White Sox are so far ahead in the American League Central, and Cleveland had their chance. White Sox lost 3 in a row. Cleveland had their chance to make up some ground, and of course they didn't, because the Guardians aren't there yet. They're just not quite there yet. I'm Lawrence. This is my show. Thanks so much for hanging out with me. Here with you until 2 o'clock. D.V. Sweeney is going to be in studio at 1. I went to Milwaukee Friday after the show. Herbie went to were you at Saturday's game or Sunday's game? Saturday's game.
Correct.
You and me's day. He was at Saturday's game watching it. I have a couple of things to review for a game at American Family Ballpark, wherever... the place where the Brewers play, that place that they play at. I think that it is a striking building from the outside. Like, the facade of that ballpark, especially for a night game this time of year where you get the sun like setting over it. I took a picture of it and threw it on Twitter in a thread about this on Friday night. It's really great. I like how they have that bridge that goes across, it's not 94, it's 175 or whatever, that goes across, it takes you to the ballpark, I think is a lot of fun. I enjoy hanging out with Brewers fans and talking to them throughout the game. They're a little chirpy, but they are informed chirpy. You know, sometimes you go places and fans are not as informed about their team, but the Brewers fans are. They were into it. White Sox fans rolled in there deep. I don't think it was half, but I think that it was somewhere between 35 to 45% of the people were there. I thought this was interesting. While I'm parking, you know, I went to the lot that was closest because I wanted to be there for first pitch on Friday night, and I had run into a little bit of traffic after the game. But they have, for weekend games, Saturday and Sunday games, the parking is a premium, like really close to the ballpark. And they literally have on the sign, "and Cubs games." I've never seen that before. I've never seen like another team dictating your traffic and your parking policy. I'm not begrudging them, because clearly there are tons of Cubs fans on the North Shore that, quite honestly, it's easier for them to go see the Cubs in Milwaukee than it is for them to drive down to Wrigley Field. I was just a little bit shocked. And White Sox fans, like, we're like marauding pirates. Like, we just, you should have seen us, like, just walking in, just acting like we own the place. Was that your experience? You were with the 108 guys, so they've been acting like they were owning the place all day. Like, not just the ballpark, but the city of Milwaukee.
We all had a great time. They had a tailgate before the game. It was the 108 and Sox machine. So I got to finally meet Jim Margulis.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he flew up. And of course, just like Jim Margulis' stories, and when you see him on the podcast or listen to him on the podcast, he's that guy. Very pleasant, very knowledgeable. We talked about some trades. It was good to put a face to the name.
Yeah. It's just that, like, we're so loud and so obnoxious. And, you know, there's a lot of White Sox fans that are hiding in Lake Forest and stuff, too. And you make the trip up there, and we're just all black, just like, hey! Yeah! I'm going to kick some butt today. Walking in here, like, I'm, like, putting my hat down, just like, geez. Just like, don't embarrass us, guys.
On Saturday, the atmosphere wasn't as such because I think from that first game, they're like, the Milwaukee team is tough.
Yep.
So they came in with some respect. And yeah, we were cheering. We were happy, loud. But I think the atmosphere between White Sox and Brewers fans on Saturday was cordial. It was nice. Mutual respect.
No. I'm not saying that we were, you know, throwing food at people. I just say, like, from the moment that the ballpark opened up, we kind of walked in there like, this is going to be a really old reference. We walked in there like Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder walked out of jail. In Silver Street. That's how we walked in. And then we were loud and we were chanting, and Brewers fans didn't like that, so they started chanting back. I think it made for an excellent atmosphere. It felt like playoff intensity to me. It's also really damn hot in that place.
It's so weird how, and Tanny and I talked about this on Locked On Sox, how we have kind of forgotten the Brewer White Sox hatred.
Yes.
We used to absolutely despise the Brewers.
Yes.
Doug Manzolino. We used to hate Scrap Iron. We used to hate the whole Brewers thing. Bob Uecker, all that stuff.
A lot of fights back in the day, including manager fights.
Yeah, I guess since you switched stadiums and they switched leagues, all is forgiven. Maybe the older White Sox fans are like, no, I still hate the Brewers with a passion.
Yeah, I don't really hate them. I did make a point. I hadn't seen it the last time I was up there. I made a point to go see the Hank Aaron statue. I threw it out on Instagram. Like, the way I feel about Hank Aaron, like, I don't genuflect a lot, but that dude, like, that's one of the regrets I have of my sports life, that I never got the opportunity to meet Hank Aaron. And he's just a hero, man, on a lot of different levels. I like their statues that they have. The statue of him, the statue of Robin Yount, it's very well done. Overall, as far as ballparks go and the whole experience together, my experience in Detroit was better than my experience in Milwaukee. I'll definitely go back to Milwaukee the next time the White Sox are there because I like the city. I've always kind of liked the city. The ballpark it's mid for me. Like, to me, the comp is the ballpark in Arizona. Like, there's a similarity there. Obviously, baseball means more to people in Milwaukee than it does in Phoenix. And you can tell by the way that people interact with their team. I'll definitely go back because I had a really wonderful time and there's some great food that was had. And the vending situation in Milwaukee was fantastic. Like, all the vendors were good to go. Ordering with the app, I think, is a little difficult. But all the vendors were ready to go. They do Long Islands. Did you see the Long Island guy?
I did.
I find that surprising. Like, that is that's not usually a drink associated with baseball. And this guy's like, I got three different types of Long Islands. I figured two of those and you probably good for a long time. Mess around and get carried out. We need to take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk about Team USA. What the hell's going on with Team USA? Cameron Smith joins me to explain next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
The final 7 seconds here. Lillard puts it up. Holiday, no, and that will do it. So France has beaten the United States in the first game in Pool A. Final score 83-76. The shooting star tonight as the coaches exchange well wishes. There he is with there the beard, is. Evan Fournier, with 28 points. He was spectacular.
Highlight is courtesy of NBC and the IOC. Team USA, the men's version, is struggling to find some cohesion as things start off. And there's a couple of different reasons why that is the case. I don't know if you've paid any attention to the three-on-three tournament. It's happening. The men didn't qualify, by the way, for the three-on-three. It's nuts. Like, it's crazy. And the women are doing really well.
Stephanie Dolson.
Yeah, from the Chicago Sky, is at the forefront of that team. I think Kelsey Plum's out there too. Like, they got themselves a squad. Cameron Smith knows about buckets. Why? Because he's a longtime hooper, a prep legend in this area. He has gone on to be just a phenomenal broadcaster and does a great job working for MSG and for Stadium. He's a friend of the show, and he joins me now on the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas hotline. It is home of the world's largest sports book. When you go out there, go stay at Circa and hang out and have a good time. Sir, how are you?
Lawrence, I'm good, man. How are you? It's always good to be on the show, man. Unfortunately, we got to talk about this Team USA thing.
Yeah, so we were talking about it a little bit on Twitter. That was the reason why I decided that I wanted to have you on and talk about this. I think that the ramifications of the 92 team and how dominant they were, how great they were, how it gave the world a glimpse of the best basketball players on the international stage, I think that it has had a rippling effect across the world where everyone around the world felt like they needed to step their game up. Is that your assessment?
Yeah, 100%. At the end of the day, you have to realize this. As happy and as go-lucky and as many photo ops as the other teams took with Team USA with the Dream Team back in 92, those guys are competitors at the end of the day. So, like, those are keepsakes, having the photos and saying, hey, I played against Michael Jordan and some of the greatest players this basketball game has ever seen. But best believe, when they got back to their country and they got back around their families and their friends and their kids, they're like, no, we're going to do something. We're going to put the plans in place so that down the road where my son, my nephew, or whoever it is gets an opportunity to play for the national team for our country, we're going to make sure that we avenge the loss of what my dad or what my uncle, my cousin, brother, whoever it was, right? So that's one thing that a lot of people don't realize with the ramifications, Lawrence, as you mentioned, of what the Dream Team did. And we talked about this on Twitter and going back and forth on how these teams, these countries, these continents were motivated back then. And even Pau Gasol, who said this, watching The Last Dance last summer, said that as much as basically he tweeted this, as much as the world that became fans of Team USA, they wanted to beat them. Like, it was inspirational what Team USA did. That was all great and fine. But also, it was in the back of their minds that they wanted to make sure that they had a better showing the next time they faced the USA team.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense, man. And look at what Luka did yesterday. Luka went out here and gave 48-11. Like, the Slovenian team has the best player for international ball on his side. And he is out here showing out.
And Luka is a guy that said this previously before in his career, and he's still, you know, fairly young in his career, but he said this: it's easier to score in the NBA than it is in Europe internationally, because internationally it's a tougher game. And that's something that Team USA got exposed to the other day against France. You're not going to get this, oh, he touched me on my drive to the basket, and that's going to be a foul, what you see in the NBA, because the NBA is a more free, open game. They want to see high scoring, a lot of three-point shots, a 140 to 138 score at the end of the game, a lot of fast break dunks. In international play, it's not going to be that. They're going to make you earn every single basket. So when you get caught on a drive and you feel like a defender is being a little too physical with you on your drive, the referee is not going to bail you out. You either play through that or you go sit down on the bench and watch everybody else play. So that's the adaptability that Team USA has had previously, as we've seen before, with the Redeem team and, of course, what they did in 2012 in London. But this is a group that has to understand that we can't view this as we're playing an NBA game. We have to view this as we're playing their game, which is going to be more physical, and we have to really tap into the style of play that we grew up playing, whether it was from Dame Lillard growing up in Oakland or Kevin Durant growing up in the DMV area, where you had to earn every one of your baskets. And even in college with those players respectively, where they played in their conferences, when you get to the NBA, it's more free flowing, but it's not going to be that internationally. And that's what we saw. And that's a big difference from what NBA and international basketball is.
A texter points this out, and I think it's a really good point. The guy who runs the Bulls now, Arturis Karnišovas, he is a product of watching, you know, what the type of destruction that the Dream Team put forth in European basketball.
Yeah, I mean, and AK is a guy that is one of those guys that played against the Dream Team, held his own, like AK can hoop back in the day if you do your research. But again, also, they wanted to see what the Dream Team did, how Michael Jordan became Michael Jordan. And that's, you know, easier said than done. There's never going to be another Michael Jordan. But what training that they put in place, whether it was weight training or athletic or on the court training, that allowed these guys to be bigger, faster, stronger, and just better than the players that we have in our country. And of course, with the expansion of basketball, with the 92 Dream Team, the Bulls, Michael Jordan, the NBA expanded its brand globally. So now you're having players, former coaches going into different countries and continents and teaching the game to a lot of these aspiring basketball players for the next generations or these aspiring coaches. So it's almost like this. It's like, look, you can't be mad at us that we beat you. You taught us the game.
Right.
Our game grew off of you guys. So it's either you adjust to us and how we're rapidly growing the game in our own countries and continents, or you're just going to get run over. And that's what we saw against France late in the game with Team USA. Keep in mind, Lawrence, Team USA was up 8 with 4 minutes left to go in that game. They were right there, and they should have won that basketball game. But cold shooting in France and Evan Fournier said, nah, we're about to embarrass these dudes and get this loss on their, put this L on their record book and move forward with ours.
Cam, what do you think you will see from Team USA now? Like, how do you expect that they will push back in the rest of this competition in group play?
Well, let everyone that's listening and either kind of on the ledge or kind of just throwing Team USA to the side understand this. These are still some of the best players in the world, and they have precedence of understanding what happened in 2004 in Athens with Team USA being embarrassed by Argentina. Like, everybody remembers that. Everybody remembers the losses in the World Cup with Greg Popovich being the head coach. And he doesn't have a really good track record with being a head coach for Team USA. But saying all of that, they are still some of the best minds and some of the best talents that we have in the world. So I believe that they will be able to adapt. And they have some guys on their team that have some great Olympic experience. When you think about Kevin Durant, who's really the lone guy in terms of playing major minutes on Team USA that understands how to change and adapt his game to international play. Also, you got to throw Draymond Green in there, as well as not as skillful as you may put him in the same sentence as Kevin Durant, but still he has that Team USA experience. And a lot of the guys like Jason Tatum who have played Team USA coming up, they understand the differences in the style of play. And we're going to see a different Team USA against Iran. So I don't think that they are not going to win gold. I think they still win gold, but they just made their road to the gold medal a lot more difficult. And they really have to start defensively. And that's what they have to hang their hat on. And we saw parts of that against France. Team USA is undersized. So when you're undersized and you're playing basketball, you're either getting a lot of points in transition and fast breaking, or you're causing hell on the defensive end with your quickness and just your hands. And we saw parts of that, especially with Drew Holiday, get into the game. So those are two things that the Team USA really has to focus in on if they're going to win a gold medal. And best believe they're going to run into France again on the way to that gold medal too. So we'll see how things change for them.
Follow Cam on Twitter at Cameron Smith. It's one word and it's easy. Cameron Smith. Just follow him there. I got two point guard questions for you before I let you go. One has to do with a guy that you used to play point guard with when you were a kid. How badly do you feel for Chris Paul being that close and not getting the championship?
It's tough, man, because Chris Paul was holding it down for all the 36-year-old hoopers out there, letting all these young whippersnappers know that we can still go. You know, age ain't nothing but a number. If you know that old Aaliyah song, age ain't nothing but a number. And Chris Paul proved that. He just couldn't get over the hump to solidify the championship for all the old heads out there. It's difficult, man, because Chris Paul is really a great guy and one of the best competitors that you'll ever see in the NBA. And I know that from a personal experience of just competing with him in high school at five-star basketball camp. Listen, Lawrence, quick story on me competing against Chris Paul. So I held my own in that one-on-one in the matchup between me and Chris Paul. My team eventually would go on to win. But check this out. This lets you know this is the competitive level that Chris Paul has. His team was down 8 with maybe a minute left. And you know that team is down. They're not really playing defense. Chris Paul was the only guy, as the ball was being moved around the entire half court, as we're basically playing keep away, he's the only guy chasing the basketball because he's still in the game and yelling at his teammates, like, what are you guys doing? It's still a minute left. We're down 8. We can still win this game. So that gives you a quick insight in just how competitive he is. But you're looking at one of the top 5 point guards of all time. And I'm not blinking when I say that. He's a top 5 point guard and what he's been able to accomplish. But just to see him get 2 games away from winning an NBA championship to really put the stamp on his career is tough.
How many did you give Chris Paul?
I was double digits. I think maybe like around 12. So around that number, I'm not going to go out and say, oh, yeah, I gave Chris Paul 30, because that would be a lie. And Chris Paul, I'm sure, the days of technology that we have now, somebody's going to add Chris Paul and he's gonna be like, 30? Who is this little Cameron Smith? Like, 30? Okay, give me 30 again. And I would be embarrassed. But I say I held my own with Chris Paul. Did he outscore me? Of course. He's Chris Paul. Like, he's one of the greatest players of all time, as I mentioned, top 5 point guard. But I had digits around 12 points, and my team didn't win. So that's how much I dropped against Chris Paul. But, you know, he went another way, which was upwards, and I chose a different career, and we're both having success.
All right, one more point guard question. There's been some talk that the Bulls have kicked the tires on Derrick Rose. They clearly need a point guard. I like the way that his game has matured over the last couple of seasons. Do you think it's a fit?
I think it is a fit. If you bring Derrick Rose back, and it really will be a culmination of his career for him to come back where it all started in the city of Chicago. And if you listen to Derrick, if you've heard any post-game or pre-game comments from him and just understood how he thinks now, right? He understands that he's a lot older, that he can't get to spots as quickly as he could. And one of the big reasons why the Knicks brought him in is to be a mentor for the young backcourt and the young point guards that they have, with Emmanuel Quickly, and you're thinking about guys like RJ Barrett, like those, that group. That's why Derrick was brought in, to really mentor and show those guys the rope. And you would be hard pressed to not believe that Derrick would do the same thing if he came back into Chicago with the Bulls to finish off his career. Listen, he can still go. He can still get you buckets. And one thing about Derrick Rose growing up in Inglewood, if you can't be from Inglewood and not be afraid of the moment. Like, he's never afraid of the moment. And we saw him really be one of the leaders for the Knicks in that post-game series against Atlanta in the first round. Now, of course, you know, banged up and he started to slow down towards the end of that series. But still, Derrick Rose can give you good minutes off of the bench. I'm not going to say he's going to start for the Bulls. He shouldn't start. If the Bulls put him in that role, then they're setting him up for failure. But off of the bench, in that role, similar to what he did with the Knicks, he can be a guy that can really help this group and give them leadership from in terms of what to expect when it comes to playoff basketball, and really draw more fans back to this franchise. And another salute to Arturas Karnašovas and Mark Eversley, that phenomenal front office that this team has. So if Derrick Rose comes in, maybe throw in Alonzo Ball, hearing talk that Kobe White is basically going to be gone with the Chicago Bulls, that would be a nice fit for this group going forward for a backcourt, and also defensively and offensively for what they have with Zach LaVine, and also that man up front, the Vucci man, Nikola Vucevic.
Cam, as always, I love when we get a chance to talk buckets, man. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much for being on the show.
I appreciate you, L. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
You can watch Cameron Smith on Stadium Network and on MSG. He's really just a great, great dude. We're expecting to invite D.B. Sweeney into the studio, so stick around for that. And if he isn't here yet, we'll end up talking about the White Sox, which I know you don't have a problem with. I'm Lawrence. You're listening to The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.